Good morning, everyone. Okay, you can all hear me pretty good. It only took me an hour to find out how to use this thing. Okay. Well, it's a pleasure to be before you again this morning. I don't think it a small task to be able to do such. And I'm privileged again to be here. And again, thank you, Pastor, and to our wonderful church family. Good morning. Okay, why don't we start off opening up in a word of prayer. Lord God, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, O God, for this day, Lord. We thank you, O God, for preparing our hearts, O God. And as a result of hearing what your word says, O God, let us be motivated to do something, O God, to do something to edify the church, to build something to strengthen our relationships, O God, and to bring glory to you. And we thank you, O God, for your precious word. Continue to lead as your Holy Spirit is leading us, O God. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A little closer? Okay. Is that better? Everyone? Okay. Trust me, my wife will make all types of funny noises if I don't speak clearly, so I'll understand. Okay. Well, believe it or not, guys, my wife and I, we're just celebrating 21 years of marriage. She still bosses me around in the spirit of love, though, but... But it's wonderful, and we look forward for a whole lot more. And before I continue, I just want to say something to Marcella and to your wonderful family. As you guys will probably figure out, we really love Marcella. And she is a part of us, and she is our family. And her hurt is our hurt, as Pastor so eloquently brought that out. Her hurt and your hurt is our hurt. Her family is now our family, and we're all one family, and we're gonna be there for each other, and that's what a church ought to do, right? So again, my beloved sister and her family, we're with you, and we're gonna support you all the way as a church family. Amen? Okay. Okay, let's move on. One thing I love about the Bible is when you look at the characters of the Old Testament and the experiences that they've been through, and the characters of the New Testament and the experiences that they've been through, and even the characters in the transitional period between the Old and the New Testament, you realize that all of their experiences, even though they happened many years ago, are directly applicable to us today in the year 2011. So I'll ask God, I want you to bring that out. I want their experiences to be a help to me, even as I try to understand through the Holy Spirit as I read his word. So we've been directed to a character who I really like a lot, one of my favorite people in the Old Testament. And his name is Samson. And we're going to look at his experiences and what happened with him that's applicable that can help us today. So if you can turn with me to the 13th chapter of the book of Judges, I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. We're looking at the 13th chapter of the book of Judges. If I have somebody here that really loves the Lord, shout amen.
Amen.
Okay, Judges, the 13th chapter, first to the fifth verse. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, which means he was from the tribe of Dan, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines." We're talking a little bit about, this is the circumstances surrounding Samson's birth. Now, if we can just shoot over real quick to the 15th chapter of the book of Judges. We're going to read verse number 14 through 18 of the 15th chapter of the book of Judges. When he came to, now we're talking about Samson again. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men." And so it was, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramoth-Lehi. Then he became very thirsty, so he cried out to the Lord, "You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" We just looked a little bit about Samson's great power. And the last verse I would like to look at is verse 16. Verse 16, the 15th. The 16th chapter, the 15th verse to the 20th. Then he said to them, she said to him, now we're talking about Delilah. Okay, now we're going to go into a little bit about who these characters are. But again, 16th chapter, Delilah is now talking to him. Then Delilah said to him, "How can you say that I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me, we have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies." And it came to pass, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." If I could pick for a topic as I'm with you for a couple of minutes this morning, it is, where does your power come from? Where does your power come from? Now, we've read a couple of scriptures. Let's have a little bit of background on what we just read. We see that Samson was born into the tribes into the tribe of Dan, and he was born during a time where the Philistines had dominion. Because the scripture says that the children of Israel did bad in the sight of the Lord, so now the Philistines are roughly in charge. But one thing he did was he took a vow. Usually a Nazarite vow is voluntary. In this situation, he's one of three people in the entire Old Testament and New Testament who was given this vow at birth. Now, if you know anything about the Nazarite vow, and if you want to read more about it, you can go to Numbers, the 6th chapter, 1 through 21. It's a very strict vow. There are strict dietary laws. There are strict things that you need to do. Don't cut your hair. You don't eat this. You have to eat that. But you're dedicating and consecrating yourself unto God. So that's what a Nazarite vow was. And Samson took this Nazarite vow as a child. The word Nazir comes, the word Nazarite comes from the word Nazir, which simply means to be separated and consecrated. So even from the beginning, Samson was separated and consecrated for a special work. So he had a special relationship with God to do a special work for him. But he had to maintain a promise. And I have to maintain this mic so that you can hear me correctly. You know, I wrote that just in case that ever happened. Okay. Can you still hear me clearly? Okay. Okay. So he had to continue to maintain this relationship to continue to be able to be powerful enough to do the things that God wanted him to do. So again, we ask the very critical question, where did Samson's power come from? Well, many believe that the power was simply in his hair, because once his hair was cut off, he lost his power. And didn't we go through this last time? Okay.
Keep talking.
Okay. Lost his power. But actually, the power was lost not because he lost his hair, but because he lost the vow that he made with God. Remember, he made a specific promise to God, and this promise was broken as a result of cutting off his hair. Where does his power come from? Well, obviously, his power didn't come from anything physical that he did. His power literally came from a covenant relationship with God. Now, if I can read for a quick second the definition of a vow, it's an earnest promise to perform a specific act. Samson became disconnected from the promise as soon as his hair was allowed to be cut off. When one is connected, they become energized. And the operative word here is energized. Could someone please repeat after me the word energized? Satan was energized as long as he was in that consecrated status with God. Consecration, or his dedication to God, that he became unenergized. So the thing is, we want to all, I can stop a quick second and just be a little bit scientific here. There are two types of energy. When we talk about energized, we're talking about energy. There are two types of energy in science. One is potential energy, or stored energy. The other is kinetic energy, active, moving energy. And the best way to describe the difference between kinetic energy between potential energy and kinetic energy is by looking at a roller coaster. When you're on a roller coaster and you're slowly going up, 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 you're building up what is known as potential energy. Once you get to the top, you're not going anywhere. You're still in one place, but you have maximum potential energy, but it's stored energy, not doing anything. But once you go over that last hump and you come speeding down the tracks, and if you're like me, you'll be screaming like a girl, but if you'll be screaming down the tracks, then you are experiencing what is known as kinetic energy, active, motivating, moving energy. And we're going to ask God today that whatever potential energy that we have stored up, to release that thing so that we can build up kinetic energy and be active to do the things that God wants us to do. Amen? Okay. We're talking about being energized. We want to ask God that potential energy to kinetic energy. The more energy we use, the more power we have. So somebody shout, power.
Power.
Somebody shout again, power.
Power.
Okay, power. We're talking about a power that cannot be comprehended by human understanding. We're talking about a power that's not submissive to scientific laws, rules, or regulations. We're talking about a power that vastly exceeds the combined efforts of man's technological capabilities. We're talking about a power that has the ability to transform one from a state of potential energy to a state of kinetic energy. And this is the power that God has given us. Somebody shout, power.
Power.
I'm going to tell you, power is a powerful thing. I want to tell you about a little story that when I was in college, we belong to InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And we went away to a training conference. And during this conference, they taught us to evangelize. And we sat there and we learned every aspect of what to do, how to talk. So what do you think they did next? They found the roughest park on the planet to put us in. And they told us to go out and evangelize. So we went two by two. And before we went, the that says, I'm sending you out as lamb among wolves. And I told him, thanks for the encouragement. So we went to this Huff Park and we were destined to evangelize. So I said to my partner, Isaac, at the time, I said, okay, Isaac, we've been told to evangelize. So the first group of people that we come across, let's talk to them about God. Isaac said, that sounds good, Ralph. Let's go and talk to them about God. So we came across a group of people. It would have been nice if we just went across the street to where the nice nuns were, but no. The group of people that we first came across in this park looked pretty rough. And Isaac and I, we looked at each other, and we asked, do we really want to go to the first group, or should we go to the second group of people that we meet so that we can talk to them? Again, we started looking at our physical eyes. We started dealing with our human emotions. We even started relying on the fear that we have as human beings as approaching a tough group. But we have to realize that the power that we have is not within ourselves, but the motivating power or the kinetic energy we have is the power that comes from God. Somebody please say power.
Power.
Now, if I can read again the definition of power this time. Power is defined as the ability or capacity to perform effectively, ability to make things happen, or the opposite of disability. At which energy is converted from one form to another. Let's ask God again to convert our potential stored energy, which is probably not doing much, to kinetic energy, which is active and working for God. Amen? No one can deny that Samson was one of the strongest men of his time. No one could compete with Samson physically. But the Bible doesn't stress because he had such great muscles, other people with muscles couldn't compete against him. The Bible doesn't stress because of his great intellect that other people with intellect couldn't compete against him. The Bible always stresses that a vow was made, that covenant relationship with God. And once you're connected to God and having the energy of God, then you're able to perform things in God that you ordinarily might not be able to accomplish. In the absence of power, work cannot get done. And if it does get done, it cannot get done effectively. In the presence of power, one has the capacity to make things happen. And as Christians, let's be like that. Let's be in the power of what's being the state of work, where we have the ability to make things happen. But we're not just talking about supernatural power. So therefore, in the presence of supernatural power, we have the supernatural capacity to make things happen. Please, someone shout again, power. Now, speaking of power, many of you probably remember the blackout that we had in New York. And I was at work during this blackout. It was a couple of years ago. I can't remember exactly what year it was, around 2000 maybe. And it was a blackout. And the entire city shut down because the entire city was dependent on this power. And at work, in the immigration area where our immigration officers work, they rely on their computers to determine who can come into the country and things like that. And they couldn't do that because their computers were reliant on power. I tried to leave and there was cars stacked up at every single light because the traffic lights wouldn't work. Why? Because we're dependent on that traffic light to determine if we should go or if we should stop. You take away that power, then you have a system of disarray and disorganization. We need power. We need power to walk. Right? We need power to walk the way that God really wants us to walk. The effectiveness of our walk is not contingent on anything physical that we do. It's about maintaining the power that we receive from God. The strength of our belief is not contingent on anything else but our relationship and the power that we receive from God. If you're like me, I'm kind of wondering if Delilah, your wife, wanted to find out why you were strong and you told her some things and then she tried to use it to take away your powers, at what point did you decide that you would tell her the truth so that she can get some guys to cut off your hair and then you become weak just like any other mortal man? So I'm trying to figure that out myself. I'm trying to say, hey, if I was Samson, I wouldn't do that. But what do I know? I'm not Samson. God gave him a specific experience for a specific purpose. Me, a specific experience for a specific purpose. And again, as I always tell people, if I had my way, I would have grown up totally different. I would not have known bad things like gangs and organizations and things like that. I would have grown up totally different. But God has us to go through specific experiences for a specific reason for his glory. So there's something that we can't beef with. But going back to Samson, he told Delilah his secret, his hair cut off, and he became like any other mortal man. His powers became limited. And when his powers became limited because of his lack of a relationship with God now, his separation from God, he himself became limited. And when we become limited, it's very important to see what happens if we become limited. We become limited in our vision. We become limited in our goals. We become limited in our aspirations. And being limited is not something we want to do. With all these limitations, it's very difficult to effect significant change necessary for our spiritual development. I specifically believe that our church, the church proper, the church of God, all across the world, can go higher heights and deeper depths if we learn to continue to identify and release the potential energy that we have within ourselves and convert that to kinetic energy, get out of the business of God. Somebody say energy. Somebody say power.
Power.
But we have to continue to eradicate those limitations that keep us from being all that God wants us to be. 2 Timothy 2:21 says that if a man therefore purges himself from these limitations, he shall be a vessel unto honor. He shall be sanctified for the master's use. And he shall be prepared unto every good work. But you have to continue to eradicate those limitations that keep you from doing the good work that God wants you to do. In the absence of power, work cannot effectively be done. But in the presence of power, the capacity to effect a significant change is what we want to see. Pastor mentioned earlier that we have a home for women, Ruby's Place. Now we're coming into a world that is foreign to me. I've never been to a place where I see women abused. I've never been to a place where I saw women burn 75% of their body from an angry boyfriend. I've never been to a place where there are all these tracks and horrible things all over a person's body by trying to inject themselves with things that has artificial stimulation and not making us feel good in the long run. But when you start looking with your physical eyes, then you begin to experience a hurt that you probably can't deal with. But when you start looking through your physical eyes, you experience a hurt that you probably can't deal with. Spiritual eyes, God brings upon a strength that will help us to last, a strength that will sustain us to continue to do the work that God wants us to do. We're relying on power that only comes from God. Somebody say power. Now, we live not simply to exist. We live for a purpose, a very specific purpose that's been established way before we were born. Just like Samson, he had a purpose that was established way before he was born. At any time in our own free will, we can cut off purpose, do anything we want to do. There is nothing compelling us to stay and do the things that God wants us to do, except the power that we receive through him. Except the power that we receive through him. One of our brothers made a PowerPoint presentation on prayer, and one of the finest things I've and it talks about when you maintain that prayer relationship, that constant communication with God, you will experience power on a level that you never experienced before. And I'm going to say his name, thank you, Keith, for that PowerPoint presentation. But it's true. You can't help to attain this power and maintain and sustain this power unless you're in constant communication with the one that gives the power. And that's maintaining this origin and this relationship with God. So what I'd like to say now is it's entirely possible that we tend to incorporate elements within our life that will limit us and will even limit our access to the power that God so freely wants to give. We may tend to add things in our life that don't really glorify God. We may tend to add elements in our life that doesn't edify the church. We may add things in life that doesn't strengthen our relationship with God, even strengthen our relationship with our family. It's time to get back to the business of God by making an attempt to eradicate those things that keep us separate from God. And as I conclude, the Nazarite vow was a deep vow, was a special vow, was be kind of difficult to keep. I don't know, when I go to my doctor, Dr. Niehaus is around, okay. When I go to my doctor tells me I should eat certain things. He says I should maintain a certain diet. He says I should exercise a certain amount of time a day. And these are things that are good for me, and I should maintain to do that. And you know what I want to do? I want to eat cookies. I want to eat cakes. I want to eat candies. And if anybody wants to bake me a sweet potato pie, I really love that stuff. But that's another story. But it's hard to do those things that you know you have to do. What's good for you. So the Nazarite vow is a complicated vow. And again, anybody wants to see that vow, it's in Numbers, the 6th chapter, verses 1 to 21. It tells you all about the Nazarite. Right, vow and the things you need to do. But it's an Old Testament concept. Having a Nazarite vow is a strict vow, but it's an Old Testament concept. Believe it or not, there is a New Testament parallel to this Old Testament concept, and it's found in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And the scripture says, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Again, it's the same concept. Separation, consecration, dedication to yourself, of yourself to God. This is the New Testament parallel of the Nazirite vow. Earlier, I just spoke about potential energy and kinetic energy. You ever see a Mack truck starting up? Very intimidating. And when you hear that thing start up, you know that behind this truck, there's going to be some power. And you don't want to be standing in front of that truck when it moves. But you know what? If it doesn't move, it can look as intimidating as it wants. It can sound as loud as it wants. It can have so much horsepower as it wants. But as long as it doesn't move, it doesn't perform any energy. And nothing is affected. Again, this is potential. Let's not be content with having potential energy. When let's be like that Mack truck. When that Mack truck begins to move, we know that something will be affected in front of it. So we will move out the way because we acknowledge the power of that Mack truck. Now when it moves, we are looking at kinetic energy in action. And as I end, I would like to say that with all this potential energy we have built up in ourselves, let's ask God to change and transform that potential energy to kinetic energy. In the presence of power, there is a capacity to make things happen. And as a Christian church, let's build on that capacity. And when we leave here, let's make something happen. Amen? Amen. God bless you all. God bless you all. At this time, I'm going to turn over to our pastor as we prepare ourselves for communion.